Maybe like me, you were scrolling through your feed last night, or you were sitting around watching cable news, and you noticed this little news item.
Thank you, Chuck. We have breaking news, and Michael Avenatti is about to join me live.
Breaking news.
One of Michael Cohen's closest business partners is flipping against him.
I'm sorry, one of Michael Cohen's business partners is flipping? You have my attention.
Evgeny Friedman is a Russian immigrant, and he's known locally, at least in New York State, as the Taxi King.
Gene Friedman. I know this guy. I interviewed him back in 2015.
The heat is intensifying on President Trump and his personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, after one of Cohen's major business partners, Evgeny Friedman, known as the Taxi King, cut a deal with prosecutors.
They love saying Taxi King, and I understand that because it is an amazing concept. And the news broke last night that Friedman, the Taxi King, has reportedly agreed to help out state and federal prosecutors in their investigation.
It's not clear if those investigations are related to Cohen. Still, the question looming large, could the deal give prosecutors more leverage to get Cohen to flip on President Trump?
It is both surprising that the Taxi King finds himself in the midst of this whole drama with President Trump and Michael Cohen, but once you've met the Taxi King, it's not that surprising. So what we're going to do today is to replay the episode that we did in 2015. And at the end, we will give you an update on what the Taxi King is up to now. If you own one of those yellow taxi cabs in New York, the most valuable thing about it is not the car itself, whatever it is. No, it is this little metal shield bolted to the hood. It's about the size of your hand, and it's called a taxi medallion.
And if you want to operate a cab in New York City, you have to have one of these medallions, which makes them kind of these rare, precious objects.
Yeah, because the city controls the number. There are only about 13,000 taxi medallions in existence. And because of this rarity, not too long ago, taxi medallions were selling for $1.2 million each.
Gene Friedman owns a surprising number of them, and he invited us out to his garage in Queens to take a look.
I live these, I breathe these. I remember when I got these, how I got these.
This cab right here, it's 9V62. That tells you a story?
It does tell me a story.
Friedman has a lot of stories because he's got a lot of medallions. So many medallions, he's given them all names just to keep them straight.
You can see the names on legal documents for all of these little holding companies, and they are stacked in binders all over the garage.
Volcano Taxi. We have Vic Taxi. We have Wrestler. Wrestler Taxi. Why do I have Wrestler Taxi?
Because you used to wrestle?
Kind of. I actually dated a female wrestler.
Yeah, every name reminds him of where he was in his life when he bought it. So, for instance, he had a son named a taxi medallion after him, Dylan Taxi.
And as he expanded his fleet, he started to make a lot of money. And you can actually tell that by looking at the taxi names.
There's your Cognac, your Chardonnay, your Cuervo.
Biblos, that's a hotel in Saint-Tropez, Armenia.
Butterscotch, Butterfly, Brownie.
Right, then we got into the sweets.
Good times, not so good times.
We have Sandra Taxi. Wow, that's an interesting one.
Is that someone you dated?
That's my wife. We're going through a nasty divorce. So we have Saint-Tropez Taxi.
Friedman has been remarkably successful at buying up these rare, precious things, these taxi medallions. He controls over 1,000 taxi medallions, which not too long ago, altogether were worth over $1 billion.
But the taxi business is, of course, changing a lot right now. You used to have to wait for a cab in New York. You'd have to run out and hail it.
Yeah, I was terrible at it. There's a definite art to getting the cabs.
The first time I successfully hailed a cab, I felt like a real New Yorker. But now all I do is pull out my phone and go to Uber or Lyft, and lo and behold, some guy in a Honda shows up a couple minutes later to take me wherever I want to go.
And because of that guy, the value of the old-fashioned taxi medallions is plummeting. If you're Gene Friedman, owner of 1,000 of them, this is a real problem.
Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Robert Smith. Today on the show, the rise and the fall of the taxi medallion king.
Did you really fall?
You know, it's not looking good. I'm going to be honest with you. But this is really the story of what happens when something you own is suddenly worth a lot less.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Swell Investing, an impact investing platform. You vote with your dollars when you shop, What if you could do the same when you invest? With Swell, invest in high-growth companies without checking your values at the door. It's a market opportunity linked to global progress in clean water, renewable energy, and medical breakthroughs. Get a $50 bonus when you open your account at swellinvesting.com/money.
Hey there, I'm Joshua Johnson, the host of 1A. There are lots of places to debate today's issues if you don't mind getting attacked for speaking your mind or asking a simple question. But 1A is different. You'll find the 1A podcast on the NPR One app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Gene Freedman never wanted to be known as the taxi guy. He is my age. He's in his mid-40s. But he is trying to dress hipper and younger. He has tight jeans and purple sunglasses, and he's trying to grow a stubble beard. That's what his girlfriend's making him do right now.
Taxis were always his dad's thing, until his dad got sick back in the 90s.
He was a horrible two-pack-a-day smoker back then, and he had a heart attack.
His dad owned 8 taxi medallions in New York, which back then was pretty impressive.
Do you remember any of the numbers of his?
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
Name me one number.
2137, 2138, 6N60, 6667. 6K, 73, 74, 4P97, 4P98. Those are his medallions, yeah. So
those are the family jewels.
Those are the family jewels.
Freedman grew up in New York, but was working in Russia at the time. He was a high finance guy. And when he heard about his dad's heart attack, he rushed back to New York to the hospital.
Now, I imagine it's one of those classic movie-like scenes, you know, the father in the hospital bed pointing outside to his taxis and saying, son, this could all be yours.
But the thing is, Freedman didn't want it to all be his. He sort of thought of taxis as this grubby business.
They were dirty, they were smelly, they were small.
And more than that, cabs back in those days were run like a mom and pop business. You'd save up money to buy a cab or get a small business loan and buy a couple or a few. This was the way Freedman's dad did business.
But the son, Gene Freedman, he was a finance guy. And he thought, wait a minute, the medallions. The medallions. If you buy a medallion, you are basically buying part of a monopoly. Medallions are scarce. The city isn't making any more of them. Medallions are like gold or real estate.
And yes, they're expensive. But Freedman knew bankers. He knew he could get big loans and interest-only loans with super low rates. And he told his father, you could use this borrowed money to get more and more and more taxi medallions. What could go wrong? Although his dad had a pretty good idea of what could go wrong.
No, I mean, where it says, he says, you're an idiot. He says, you don't know what you're talking about. This is not the way things are done. This is not what you want to do.
And yet, it was exactly what Freedman wanted to do. He borrowed money, he bought medallions. And then he borrowed more money, and he bought more medallions. And then when the price went up, he used those medallions as collateral to get even more loans and more medallions.
He was basically doing what Lehman Brothers and other people on Wall Street did right before the financial crash. Borrowing massive amounts of money to buy assets that they believed could only go up. He was a one-man medallion hedge fund.
He could not get enough medallions. And he didn't just bid for them. He bragged about overbidding for them. If the last medallion in some sort of blind auction went for like $100,000, he'd go up to $110,000. The other guy pays $400,000, he'd pay $450,000.
And that is when he started naming them after whatever he was drinking at the time or his favorite vacation spot or his current lady friend.
He bought garages for his taxis, gas stations to keep them fueled, a whole infrastructure.
This is my hub. This is where new cabs are born and old cabs come to die.
He shows us around his garage, and inside are guys fixing meters, pulling stickers off old taxis, putting on new ones, piles of yellow parts everywhere for his taxi cabs. The secret, Freedman says, is to make sure that he never sees a medallion taxi just sitting around in the garage, because then it's not out on the streets, it's not making money. And when he spots one, he asks, hey, why is this here?
Hey, 421, what's he here for? And then he's going to work?
Yeah, he's going to go to work.
So when I first heard how much people were paying for a taxi medallion, more than $1 million, I thought that this can't possibly work financially. How can one taxi cab pull in enough money to pay off $1 million? It doesn't seem right.
It does not seem right. And yet the manager of the garage walks me through it. Joe Krastanovec says it is all about generating a steady income. Friedman rents all of his cabs by the day or by the week to teams of drivers. One guy takes the day shift, one guy takes the night shift, one driver gets out, the next one gets in.
So they get used to each other's smells.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they get, yeah. They know everything. You know, A to Z.
The seat's always warm.
Correct. Correct.
The drivers pay a set amount of money to Gene Friedman. Whether they get a great fare to the airport or whether nobody hailed them down the whole shift, it does not matter how many people get into their cab because the drivers pay the same rent every time.
Depends what car you get, anywhere between 100 and 125.
For the whole day?
For the whole day, 24 hours.
We can make money, right?
Usually, average taxi driver will come home between 200 and 300 a day.
You know, I like to think of cabs as these little yellow machines that just spit out money all day long. $125 a day, $45,000 a year per cab, like clockwork. And as long as that income coming off that cab is more than Friedman has to fork over to pay off the medallion loans, he's good. He's making a profit.
This is why finance is so important, because if you can get a cheap loan to buy a taxi medallion, as long as you're paying a low interest rate, you will make a profit. It's like getting a cheap mortgage for an apartment building. As long as you have renters paying every month, you're good.
Friedman basically built a taxi cab empire. He started to buy cabs in Chicago and Boston and Philly.
People started referring to him as the Taxi King. So this is clearly the rise.
This is the rise, yes.
So I imagine that means we are close to the fall.
Which is, of course, why we came to see Gene Friedman. And, you know, we always talk about bubbles popping. That's what they say, right? But when you're actually looking at it happening, it's not always the way it works. With the taxi industry, it's less of a pop and more of this slow crumble. The first crack is Uber shows up in New York City a few years ago. Friedman, he tried to show that he wasn't so worried about it, that it was no big deal.
You know what? There's nobody that's a bigger fan of Uber than I am. And I always say, you know, if they're worth $50 billion and somebody could recognize that, you know what? I don't know. Maybe I'm worth something also.
Yeah, I don't think he's really that big of a fan of Uber.
Yeah, he is trying to show a sort of bravado in the face of adversity. And in fact, as I talked to him longer and longer, he would just keep putting these little jabs at Uber. He'd be like, you know, Uber's just for the 1%. Taxi cabs are for the people. And, you know, call an Uber, you don't know if it's going to show up. You don't know how much they're going to charge. So he loved to do these little digs because clearly Uber bugs him. It bugs him that there are customers who prefer calling an Uber to sitting in one of his yellow taxi cabs.
But the real problem for Friedman with Uber is actually not about the customers. It's about the drivers, the guys who rent the taxi cabs from Friedman. That is how he makes all of his money. And those guys have been going over to Uber too. So Friedman's had to start lowering the fee he charges every day to rent out his taxi cabs. And that means less money coming in.
Even that, Friedman says, he can live with that. He can make a little less on the drivers. He can maybe in some perfect world coexist with Uber. But the thing that might just kill him is the thing that helped build his business, the financing, the banks.
The banks. Those cheap loans that Friedman took out, those are coming due. And suddenly the banks are getting nervous. The same people who gave Friedman a bunch of money over the years are saying, hey, maybe we shouldn't give you any money anymore.
The financing isn't there. The financing isn't there is because you have a bunch of stale bankers, right? And these are guys that are extremely good friends of mine. These are the guys that have made me, financing and bankers have made me who I am. But you know what? Banks stopped financing. The liquidity has dried up.
You can understand where the banks are coming from. They were lending Friedman money based on the rarity of the taxi medallions, those precious taxi medallions. But now, if you can operate something that works pretty much exactly like a taxi without a medallion, the banks are figuring that these medallions are not worth as much as they used to be.
You know, Stacey, as I was listening to Gene Friedman's woes, I just kept flashing back to the financial crisis, to the housing bubble collapse, because he talked about the same sort of things. You know, it's all about the value of the medallions. Nobody knows what the value of the medallions are. Because remember, he used to have $1 billion worth of medallions when they sold for $1 million each. But now nobody wants to buy. Nobody wants to sell. The market for medallions has shut down. And the few that have changed hands have done so for something like $800,000, which is way below what Friedman paid for them.
And just like happened in the housing crisis, the banks are starting to foreclose on the taxi medallions. In fact, Citibank is in court right now trying to foreclose on 46 of Friedman's medallions. They have names like Hypnotic Taxi and Bombshell Taxi.
He's always got a clever name, even when he's in trouble.
And Friedman has responded by filing bankruptcy on just the legal entities that own the medallions. It's getting really messy.
So perhaps with this parallel to the financial crisis, it is not surprising what Friedman did this spring. He basically said the taxi industry is too big to fail. And he publicly proposed that perhaps the city of New York should bail out its yellow cab industry. He said, basically, we were promised a monopoly. We were promised regulations. And the city of New York hasn't protected that. And so his suggestion was, you know, maybe the city could guarantee the loans he needs. Maybe the city could help the money start flowing again.
We want our franchisor, our papa, our mama, our big brother.
The city of New York.
The city of New York interested in us, having a vested interest in us moving forward and doing what we need to do.
It's a little bit hard for taxpayers who had a hard time perhaps swallowing some of the support of the banking industry during their crisis, but supporting the taxi industry might be too far for some people.
But it's not supporting. It's support. Listen to me. New Yorkers have a vested interest in yellow taxi cabs in New York. You need taxi cabs picking people up at the airport, moving tourists around.
But do you? I mean, do you really need taxi cabs? Uber is creeping in everywhere. And in fact, there was a move in the New York City Council to try and cap the number of Ubers in New York, and it just failed spectacularly. Even Friedman's ex-wife, she uses Uber.
Of course she uses Uber.
I know this because his 11-year-old son showed up at the very beginning of the interview.
I know he's my kid because he just came over here in a cab. I think it was 5N56. And his mother said, "You're going to take an Uber because I feel more comfortable." And he said, "I'm not getting into an Uber because it's a family business. I'm taking a yellow cab." So that's how I know he's my kid.
Oh, come on. Is that true?
Yeah, it is.
You don't take the Ubers?
I don't like to.
Why not?
Only maybe to the airport, maybe, just maybe, but no.
Yeah, it must be particularly hard for Friedman because right now he's still making money. He's still making a lot of money. All of his cabs are still out on the roads. It's not like they're put him away in some garage or something. They're going 24 hours a day in New York, and he's got plenty of drivers who are still willing to pay him by the day and by the week for the pleasure of driving those cabs.
Friedman's real problem is that he borrowed too much money. If Friedman had been doing business like his dad had done business, he would be fine. He's got all those big loans from those big nervous banks, and he is at their mercy.
We never listen to our fathers. You know, if this all goes south for Gene Friedman, if it's sort of the worst case scenario, if he has to sell his beloved medallions, or if they get foreclosed upon and suddenly medallions flood the market, the truth is somebody is going to buy them. Oh, I mean, it's going to be at a much, much, much lower price. But taxi medallions will be bought. They will be riveted onto some yellow car in a garage somewhere in Queens. And the medallions will be right back where they've always been, on the streets of New York, looking for fares. Okay, this show was recorded back in 2015. It's 3 years later now. What has the Taxi King been up to? Well, let's deal with the easy stuff first. It has been a rough 3 years financially for Gene Friedman. He did not get a bailout from New York City. Citibank did foreclose on a bunch of his medallions, and his divorce was finalized. Then there's the bigger thing, the source of Gene Friedman's fortune, his medallions. The price of the medallions has plummeted. You can get a New York City taxicab medallion for under $200,000, although I would not recommend it at this point. And then there's the big stuff that came out yesterday, the tax stuff, the reason that Gene Friedman's in the news right now. So here's what went down. When you get into a New York City taxicab, there's a bunch of little fees that they hit you with. And New York's attorney general accused Friedman of not paying a 50-cent charge to the government, even though his cabs collected it. They accused him of stealing $5 million of these little fees, and he was facing big prison time. We don't know exactly what the deal is between the Taxi King and prosecutors, but we do know that yesterday he pleaded guilty to lesser charges. He will not see jail time, and many people are reporting that he has agreed to assist state and federal prosecutors in their investigations. We texted the Taxi King earlier today, but by the time we put out this episode, he still had not gotten back to us. Let us know what you thought of today's show. You can email us, planetmoney@npr.org, or you can tweet us, @planetmoney. I'm @RadioSmith. What are you, Stacey?
@SVanicSmith.
Oh, nice.
It wasn't taken.
Our show is produced today by Nick Fountain, who went with us to the taxi garage and found this story. It was also produced by Francis Harlow, and it was edited by the great David Kestenbaum.
I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith.
And I'm Robert Smith. Thanks for listening.